Welcome to the Mike Hewitt Show, 11 years and growing. It's about family, business, work, and politics like you've never heard it before. Yep, it's true. There's more than just a touch of wry humor mixed in. And now your host, Mike Hewitt.
Folks, welcome. I am Mike Hewitt, co-hosts Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemdorski. Listen, folks, if you ever want to get a taste of behind-the-scenes radio, you get to listen to me talk directly to Miles for a minute. We're going to pretend that we're not on the air. So, Miles, I think you and I both got this text from Ludwig. The crime in New York City is twofold: defund the police and less criminals being prosecuted, and the illegal aliens going there. And I think, wait a minute, isn't that threefold? And this guy teaches micro and macro economics. He can't get beyond two. How does that work, Miles Bauer?
You know, I've never been able to explain Lud.
So, folks, if you don't know, if you've not followed the show before, Miles and I have some making up to do. We didn't get enough boots in on Ludwig last week. So to our friends in Nebraska, we are going to do our best to catch up today. Ludwig, do you have a viable defense for yourself, sir?
Yeah, first of all, to our friends in Alaska or Nebraska, when's the last time they won a Big Ten championship?
So you got Alaska and Nebraska confused right out of the gate.
Just call me Joe Biden.
There you
Anyways.
Go. You didn't fall down while you were saying that. All right. To all jokes aside, Ludwig, you know we would never tease you.
So my point behind the twofold was that it was about law and order in New York City, which happens to be two places: defund the police and the DAs in these towns. And then the second part of besides law and order is the illegal immigration aspect that's being brought to there.
Those aren't illegal aliens. Those are newcomers.
Yeah, dreamers. Oh, they're called newcomers now?
Newcomers. And how many newcomers will you and your lovely bride Marie be welcoming into your home?
Zero. They're going to go stay with our governor, though.
With the great governor of Michigan? The reason I ask that is that the mayor of New York City, I see Colorado, I see Denver, all kinds of places since our last episode are now calling for folks to take these newcomers into their home. And I got to say again, folks, when I look at the lines of people sneaking across our borders, they're not families. I know that that's what CNN and PMSNBC show you, but they're not. They're gigantic, long lines of young 18, 19, 20 to about 25-year-old men. How many do you want living in your home? I'm just asking for a friend.
Zero.
That's just not very nice, Ludwig. You have enough room for a dozen folks living there, just beyond your six children.
Yeah. We got a few more spaces. So New York City, though, I mean, have you guys heard this? That they're putting National Guard now to protect our subways?
Wait, that makes it sound like an illegal insurgency. What are you trying to say, Ludwig?
Well, that's what I got out of it, that we're going to now deploy military personnel to guard our subways because the crime is so bad that we're now going to protect our people by putting the state police and the National Guard down there because New York City can't do it.
Isn't this classic Democrat move? So what was it, four years ago, they got rid of brought in cashless bail.
Right.
Okay, and then they tried to cut back on the police, and then they cut back on the rules of engagement by the police. Fast forward 3 years later, and here we are. So now all of a sudden, they have to deploy the National Guard. And the other fun side of that is morale in the police department is probably in the toilet.
They can't hire nobody. Nobody wants to be a cop. The cops that they have on, the ones that have stayed, not all, folks. I'm not trying to paint with a wide brush, but statistically, the ones that have not walked off and tried to find a different job are the ones that are close enough to pension that they can see it and they don't want to walk away from their retirement. That is not exactly a motivator to go stand in the middle of an absolute social cesspool and say, stop in the name of the law. And by the way, the criminals are flatly laughing at both the National Guard, who also have their hands tied, as well as the police, because they're no, what are you going to do? Take me downtown. I'll beat you home. I will, the criminal, I will be home, Mr. Law Enforcement, before your shift is over. Why in the world do you want to risk yourself to arrest me when you know there's nothing at the end of that rainbow for you, you dummy? That's what the criminals are saying.
So what's the narrative when a National Guardsman gets attacked by a Chinese national or a Syrian national or Iranian national in the subway? They get in a physical altercation. The National Guardsman actually defends themselves, unlike the New York City police have been able to, and maybe murders that person or injures them or kills them. I don't say murder, kills them. Where does that end up? Where does that end up resolving to? Where's our result in that?
They're not. They're going the other direction. Listen, I know a lot of police officers. I grew up, not myself in that world, but with family members. I know a lot of cops, and they're saying, I ain't doing it. I am not going to spend 3 hours of paperwork, take a risk of getting shot in the street. I'm not going to do all of that, knowing that it's a fool's errand. It's dumb. But here's the problem with it. Everyone listening to this show has family members, and your family members are being placed directly at risk by the purposeful subduing of our law enforcement. They are. They're at risk. You're at risk. Oh, no, Mike, you're overstating it. No, I'm not. That's why they're bringing the National Guard in. I'm not overstating it. Your families are at risk, and it's being done. Think about this for a minute. It's being done on purpose. They know they're placing you at risk. Here's the secret. They don't care. They don't care that you're at risk. They don't care that all of the retail department stores are leaving your communities, the drug stores, the gas stations. Guess what again? They don't care. They just don't. It's literally part of their political mantra. And if you're, by the way, Ludwig, you're a radical for even bringing it up. Shame on you. That's how they see this.
Yeah. Because my question then is, economically, when do you start to care? Because as those businesses are leaving, you're losing tax dollars. Your people are leaving, so you're losing tax dollars. And you don't even know the economic cost, not the implicit cost or the explicit, the implicit economic cost, meaning you don't know what you're actually losing out on. Of people like myself who will not visit New York City because all I can think of is the 1980s, early 80s, late 70s, when it was you couldn't walk 10 feet down the street without getting robbed.
But you're trying to get me stoked up on it. I'm not going to take the bait. I'm only going to say that almost every homeowner in the United States of America is getting a little love note from whoever their tax assessor is, that it doesn't even come with KY jelly. They are flatly hosing you. Hosing you. They're not like a little bump. Michigan, they warned us in advance. You're going to have a 5% increase on your tax, so be prepared. 70%+ on my house. And by the way, I'm not the lone guy on this. It's happening all over the United States. I don't care if you're red, blue, purple. I don't care what state you're in. Biden economics have driven the costs up. Allowing criminals to go wild, to your point, Lud, has driven the costs up. And guess who's going to pay the price? Guess. Miles, who do you think is going to pay the price?
All of us.
Amen. We are going to get bent over. No KY. They are going to hurt us. And they're laughing about it. They are literally laughing about it. You go to your tax appeals tribunal in whatever state you're hearing me in and appeal their decision, they will literally laugh at you. I tell you, because I've seen it with my own eyes, they laugh at you. That's what the left is doing to us. And the why? I ask, but why? And the why is because you put it on Facebook, you put it on Rhythm, you put it on Truth, and everyone grumbles for a minute and moves on. Folks, we've got to stop this roller coaster. You stay with us. We will be right back because we are fired up today. anytime, anywhere, any place, Trump begins crusade to get Biden to debate. I gotta tell you something, folks. This is fall down, slap your knees, sadly laughable. The man can't have a friendly press conference with flashcards, like kindergarten level flashcards. You got to call on George, and George is going to ask you this, and you say that. He talks to the Speaker of the House on our federal budget with flashcards, and he's going to debate Donald Trump? I'm just sorry. That ain't going to happen. I'm just telling you flat out, there will be no presidential debate because our president doesn't know if he's afoot or horseback. That is a documentable fact. Miles, you are our resident Trumpublican. Am I overstating that truism?
No. No, I pretty much felt from the get-go that they wouldn't have him out there debating. So, but you know, one thing I thought of, do you remember it was about 12 years ago during Obama's, or right at the beginning of Obama's second term, and Clint Eastwood debated an invisible Obama at the RNC that summer.
Yeah, he had a chair beside a speaker. I remember it. It was hilarious.
Yeah, so I was sitting here wondering, I wonder if Trump should do that.
He should do it. He absolutely should do it. But the idea that, I got to ask the obvious here for a minute. Folks, you got to understand something. Please understand, I am not making fun of President Biden. I am making fun of President Biden's supporters. I am. I'm laughing in your face. Just so you know, if you're a Democrat and you're listening, thank you for listening, but just know I'm laughing in your face. How in the world you can support him and say, yep, I'm going to vote for him because he's not Trump. He doesn't even know where he's at. What?
I said, I have the answer to the reason why they're supporting Biden.
Because he's not Trump.
Exactly.
That's their only reason.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They would elect a goldfish. Would elect a dead goldfish as long as his name wasn't Trump.
So if you guys really believe that, and Gavin Newsom was in the primary, do you think Newsom would have won all the delegates so far?
Yes. And by the way, I am still not convinced that Biden is going to be their candidate following their Chicago convention. I am absolutely not convinced of that at all. He cannot have a debate.
Mike, if they do a switch, that late in the summer, I think that this might be a replay of the DNC of 68.
Yes. Enter Richard Nixon at the time. And I'm just telling you, how in the world can they have a president that can't have a debate? How in the world can you have a president that can't speak with the Speaker of the House without kindergarten level flashcards? And I'm not being mean. How can you have that? Now, when we're watching the world, there's flash fires, geopolitical flash fires taking place all over the world. And understand, before I say this, I am a non-interventionist, but I'm also a Reaganite. Peace through strength. We don't have strength. We don't have a commander-in-chief. We don't have a president. I don't care whether it's Obama behind the curtain. I don't care about all of that. The world sees Biden. We just talked about a week or two ago on this show about some skit, a comedian skit in Italy, where they're making fun of Biden. The character walks past the microphone and stumbles, and they're going, "No, Mr. President," and he walks back the other direction. The world is laughing at this guy, and you can feel bad for him. I get the heartfelt feel bad for him, but it's costing the United States, and it's costing lives. People are dying in the world because of our moral absence. I don't think I'm overstating that. In fact, I think I can absolutely absolutely document that that there are people dying because we are not there as a strength. And I'm a non-interventionist. Underline that. You just got to say stop. Lud, you're the big professor here. Steer me. Am I wrong when I say these things?
No, I'm wondering where our pain threshold is as Americans, because in the last 4 years, 8 years, 16 years, we've endured a lot. And yep. Where's that threshold? I mean, we've had the Great Recession. Then we came out of that. And then we go into the fake pandemic. And then we go into this economic collapse again through that. And now major inflation, not seen since the 70s. And where is the pain threshold? Lockdowns, all the things that we've said as Americans we'd never deal with.
We're doing it.
Yet we're now going to vote in the same type of election we had 4 years ago, as if nothing's changed.
So a couple of weeks ago, I went on the show about the admiral that dresses as a girl. I'm not even going to go down that path this time. But now I'm reading a headline, VA official who tried to ban iconic World War II kissing photo. Everybody's seen the picture. They're returning from World War II. They're in downtown New York. There's a sailor, and he's bowing a lady, and he's kissing her. And for a long time, the big conversation about that picture, first off, it's a hugely patriotic, very American picture. Most people have seen it. It is a profound statement about the end of World War II and who we were as a people. This Nimrod wanted to ban the photo. This person is another person from the Biden administration that I immediately attached to the other screwball that's an admiral that the world is looking going, that's your admiral? Bring it on. How do they assemble this group of fruits and nuts? And I mean that intellectually. How do they put these people together and say, that is the administration for the greatest country in the world? Who thinks that way?
The lady who's being kissed?
Yep.
Her granddaughter came out and said, look, Mom loved it. My grandmother loved it, the picture. They ended up to be friends.
You're saying they didn't know each other when he grabbed her and did it? Oh, my God, no consent?
Oh, well, maybe it's cold outside. I love that song. I'm just saying. Oh, my. I mentioned this early on. Denver pleads with property owners to rent to migrant newcomers. The city wants residents to house the illegal migrants, also known as insurgents. By the way, a busload are migrants. 10 million is an insurgency. I'm just saying to you, it is. Here's the problem, and I don't want to make that the topic, and Lud, I'm sorry I cut you off, but they're trying, this Denver, the city itself, is trying to save itself $60 million at its citizens' expense. Here's the problem. First off, Denver votes hugely deep blue, like in the 80 plus to 90% range. Blue. They caused these things. They asked for these things. They elected officials that brought them these things. So speaking of property taxes in Denver, they're going through the moon. And the city is still saying, we need you to house them because we can't. We've ripped off every penny you have. We don't know how you're going to house them, but we want you to. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Lud, I didn't mean to cut you off. So go ahead with your thought, but when you're done, tell me why people vote for this stuff.
Like you mentioned that the government of Denver is trying to... No, those citizens voted for that. They caused this $60,000 increase.
Right.
They're the ones causing the increase in their taxes. They voted for these increases. This isn't the city government that did this. This is the people that live in that city.
But they vote on a federal level as if everybody in America must live like they live. They don't have a shred of understanding of federalism. Folks, we've got to go to a break, but truly, truly, we're just getting wound up. Stay with us. We will be right back. Folks, if you're just tuning in, I am Mike Hewitt, co-hosts Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemdorski. We are broadcasting from our flagship station, 1450 AM, 99.7 FM. That's WHTC, Holland, Michigan, on the beautiful shores of Lake Michigan. And we are aired on wonderful affiliates all across the United States. We thank all of them for playing up, for airing our program, and we thank you very much for listening. By the way, we've got a number of people now that are writing us pretty consistently via email. I passionately invite you, if you don't agree with us, if you do agree with us, want us somewhere else, send us an email, mike@themikehewittshow.com. I hear them. I respond to them. I enjoy it. We will share it on the air if you ask us to. So thank you very, very much for doing that in advance. Brian, do me a favor, if you would. Would you cue up that 60-second feature for me? Mike Hewitt here. Talking heads from MSNBC's The View laughed at voters' concerns over illegal immigration. They say the border issue is about white people's fear of brown people, Trump indoctrination. I say, wait a second. In 1995, President Bill Clinton said, all Americans are rightfully disturbed by the large number of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. Yup. Democrats used to say exactly what Trump is saying. Raw hypocrisy? Just more of their money for votes game. Do they not realize who is hurt the most by millions of uneducated people pouring across our borders illegally? Healthcare, education, housing, and jobs. The cost is in the trillions. Who pays for all that? Want the short answer? You. They get it. They don't care. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You'll be glad you did. All right, folks, listen, this is what I'm trying to do with that spot. This is me. Let me just, I'm projecting, fronting, I think they call it in psychology. I'm genuinely, truly trying to understand what happened to the left side of America. We hear in the media constantly about the Civil War and the Republican Party. Miles Bauer has been saying on this show very consistently, making sausage is ugly, but you're going to like the results. And by the way, let me submit this. He's been correct. But when I look at what's happening on the left, I grumble about the admiral that's clearly not a functioning admiral. Let me just say that. He, she, whatever you want to call that person, is a political symbol, not an admiral. I get that. The person yelling about the VA and the picture of the kissing the lady after World War, those are all political symbolisms. We talk often, most of the conservative shows in America are talking a lot about the illegal immigration that I refer to as infiltration. But I pause and I say, how did the Democratic Party get from Bill Clinton in 1995, folks, just so you know, I went back and watched that on YouTube. In fact, I watched it several times, how they pan the Capitol to see applause. Democrats were standing applauding Bill Clinton. And I know I said it, but I got to do it again. All Americans are rightfully disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. Those are Bill Clinton's words. And the Democrats were applauding him with zeal. They were, yes, 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 stop them because they're taking our jobs. Democrats, not Mike Hewitt, we're about supporting low middle-class America, middle-class America, because Democrats have always been classist. I get that. But they used to actually support poor people and poor people trying. That's the absolute opposite of what's happening when they're purposely bringing in, some, they say 10 million, I say pushing 15 million. Whatever the real number is, it's in millions upon millions. That part can't be debated. And the people that that's hurting are specifically and directly the people that they claim to support. And that's what they were doing when they applauded Bill Clinton. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. I'm in agreement with what Bill Clinton said. Think about that for a minute. Because at the time, Miles, you and I have been doing this for a long time. Bill Clinton, he's not my favorite president, but he actually likes America, supported the Constitution. When he got in trouble, he didn't go to the fringe left. He went to the center. Those were common sense American things to do. I don't know who they've become, but I'm stuck with that word still. Why? One of the two of you guys, pipe up and tell me, why would the Democrat Party veer to its fringe at the risk of, by the way, folks, the media doesn't tell you, but the Civil War Party makes makes the argument the Republicans have been having sound like a teetotal event. It's just, you can't imagine what's going on in the Democrat Party right now. Miles, you start with you because you are the Trump publican. What's caused, because this happened before Trump. It's before Trump. What's caused them to go so far to the fringe left?
If you think about the squad, these are younger folks. And right. I think that the Democrats, the old school like JFK, and they have just either passed on. And now the younger generations are coming in, and they don't have those values that the Democrat Party prior to the 70s had. I mean, and look at Bernie Sanders. He'll just outright tell you he is a socialist.
Right.
He is emboldened.
Right, he is. But listen, the person I was talking about before break from the Veterans Administration that wanted to get rid of that picture, that person is also calling for and has been calling for the absolute destruction of traditional family. Think of that for a minute, folks. Again, I say, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican listening to the show. Think of the idea that we've got federal officials paid for by U.S. tax dollars that is calling for the abolishment of traditional family. How do you get your head around that? And by the way, what caused me to get on this whole topic was where that 60-second piece started. The ladies from MSNBC's The View were laughing. They were laughing, literally laughing and mocking the voters of Virginia, saying that the voters in Virginia are out of touch. They better just get used to the newcomers. You go, what do you mean out of touch? The idea that they want to have a sovereign nation, be able to go to work and feed their families, that's out of touch? Who are these people? Folks, I'm sorry. I can't intellectually understand how that makes sense. Lud, you are a professor in a university. Is this the kind of stuff you're seeing at the university level where it's fringe left?
Yeah, especially recently. We'll get into that, but listen, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, and now we're laughing at Virginia because they're not even a border state, but they do border West Virginia. That was one of their jokes. The reason I think Bill Clinton got the applause was because if you think about it, at that time, we had a lot of Cuban invasion illegals coming, and those Cubans weren't coming here to support the Democrats. They were leaving Castro's communist dictatorship. And now they're right. Coming here. They're not voting for dictatorship. And then the Mexicans that were coming here at the time were also leaving dictatorships. They weren't going to vote for that. Where now we got them coming from all over the world to create that here. So, of course, they want them here.
Right.
The switch in what's coming here is why I think there's been such a great switch in letting them in because the votes.
But listen, I don't think they're going to vote the way they think when they're done. Those folks are largely Catholic. I don't think that they're going to say, yeah, abortion till birth is not radical. I just don't believe that.
Well, I think we're past the
Cubans, we're down to seconds. We're down to seconds before break. But I will tell you that the Cubans that came over were actually seeking legitimate political asylum, and they were in the thousands, not in the millions upon millions. Folks, stay with us, and we will be right back. All right, guys, speaking of things I don't understand. So I'm looking at an article. This is from AmericaWireNews.com, but I found it in a number of places. Doritos hires trans ambassador who's been accused of promoting pedophilia, calls for annihilation of traditional values. This is another person, not the VA person. This is a trans person that Doritos hired as an ambassador. And I think, did they do this because it worked so well for Bud Light? I get that the United Nations in their, now I'm drawing a blank on the name, ESG or whatever it's called, their big political global initiative. I get that that's steering a lot of these things, but it took Anheuser-Busch and almost has destroyed it. It is coming back, but it will never be the king of beers in America again. And so I look at Doritos and Miles, tell me, why make sense to the fringe left? If you're your average Democrat, you go to work every day, you support the institution, you just disagree with us on policy. Does this make you want to run out? And by the way, folks, I'm not calling for a boycott. Let me just say that. I don't care about boycotts. I don't think they work. That said, does this make you want to run out and buy a bag of Doritos?
Well, see, what's going on here? There are portfolio managers that measure just how woke a business is, and that will impact their decisions of if they buy or sell stock.
And that goes back to the ESG initiative, right?
Right.
And it is ESG initiative. And folks, if you don't think that that's true, we've talked about it a lot about a year ago, maybe 6 months ago on the show. If you've not looked it up yet, don't listen to us. Even Google, in fact, Google doesn't hide it. They're proud of it. But it goes to Miles's point. If you're a large corporation and you operate your business with lines of credit, like in a car business, I refer to it as a line of credit for a floor plan. But if I'm inventorying a factory, it's still a line of credit or an inventory floor plan. If you actually want one that's affordable, you better get your ESG score up. You better do it, or it ain't going to happen for you. If you want to actually borrow fresh money and your score is low, oh, too bad for you. Too bad. And if you want great global distribution of your beer or your Doritos, you better play that ball game. Folks, I got to tell you, the idea that we are still engaged with in actually the home of the United Nations, when they are purposely, I don't have to guess this, their actual spoken agenda is to get rid of sovereign countries. I want you to think about that for a minute. The idea that we, the United States, us taxpayers, are funding an organization that seeks to destroy our own sovereignty. So when I can't get my head around why Budweiser did it, why Doritos have done it, why Biden has got his administration stacked with these people that are not functional. And by the way, I'm not making a statement about their intellectual capacity. That's not what they're there for. They don't have a job. They're there as presentators to a political position. And folks, you're paying for it. So when you hear me whine and opine about my 70%+ increase in tax, all of this stuff trickles down like watching the cascading fountain out in some central park, but except for it's not water, it's your tax dollars. Lud, what say you?
Well, the funny thing is Bud Light, I don't know if you've been what they've done recently, but they actually went and got this comedian as a new spokesperson. His name is Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
And Shane Gillis is hilarious. Miles, do you know who he is?
Oh, yeah.
He's hilarious. And he's probably one of the most controversial comedians right now, next to Dave Chappelle. He was hired by SNL, fired within a week before he even got to be on SNL because some old jokes about Asians had come up. So he is not woke. He lived in Austin. He does things with Joe Rogan and other comedians on that level of wokeness. Huge Republican, and Bud Light has now signed him to a big endorsement deal. So Bud Light, I don't know if they gave the middle finger to ESG and said, you know what, we're not playing this game anymore, but they learned their lesson. So it's shocking that Doritos would do this.
It is shocking. Listen, folks, I got to tell you a short story of my own on Ludwig. I'm not sucking into this debate. I had a friend of mine, black guy, first name Ricardo. I won't go his last name because I didn't ask him for permission. This is several years ago. Him and I were watching, he would bring over discs. We'd watch, he had comedy on discs. So he'd come over once or twice a week. We watched comedy on the TV, funny stuff. And we're working our way through February, Black History Month. And he brought over a whole bunch of Black History things. By the way, I loved it. Let me just inset that. But him and I joked each other constantly. I said, man, I'm tired of Black History. He said, well, you got the other 11 months. Calm down. We would have those constant jokes with each other. Folks, it was fun. He's a good, dear friend. And what those jokes did is it knocked down walls. We've talked about on this show before, Johnny Carson and all of the comedians from that era and back, they would tell jokes back and forth. Dean Martin used to do the Dean Martin roasting hour. They'd bring out Ronald Reagan as a governor or somebody else, and for an hour they'd tell jokes, and there were Black jokes and white jokes and Hispanic jokes, and there were all kinds of different people that were there. Folks, what it did is it really, really ground the walls down between people. It was effective. It was funny. I laughed at the jokes when they were against my people or against the other people. Nowadays, if you're standing at the imitation, because you don't have a real one anymore, a water cooler, but if you're standing at the water cooler with your buddy, a version to me of my friend that I'm talking about, if you two are just dear friends and you're going back and forth like we used to do, if somebody hears you, you're going to be in a whole heap of trouble. You're going to wring your hands about whether your innocent joke back and forth with your friend will cost you your career, because something in America is, I can't say that word, is unhinged. It's unhinged. They are purposely building walls. They are not using these tools to make us warm and fuzzy with each other. They are causing animosity and resentment amongst the races. And folks, it's got to stop. Miles, am I wrong?
No, not at all. I mean, we have talked about this endlessly on the show. They want to divide us because we're easier to control when we are divided up into tribes, right, rather than one nation under God.
Right. True. True. And by the way, let me finish my Ricardo story. Remember I mentioned he's a Black guy. I had invited him. This was Thanksgiving years ago. And him and I are sitting in the living room floor and we're playing chess. So there's a footstool that we've got a chess game sit on, and family's coming in. One of my family members, crazy far left liberal, walked in and saw Ricardo sitting on the floor, and that crazy liberal was like in panic mode. You've got a Black person sitting here? Didn't say it, but you could see that person wanted out of the room. And I'm telling you, that's nonsense. That's not who we are as a people. It just isn't. That's the idiocy that caused a civil war. It's not the merit that's going to save a country. Lud, you see this in universities, and don't tell us your personal story, but you must see this stuff in universities.
It's unreal. But I have a great one-liner to that chess thing. But
you probably can't say it because somebody will be offended.
I don't care. I already told him I let him be the white side so he knows what it feels like to win once. But
right,
listen, it's a joke, right? Like, that's the stuff I joke with my buddies about. Like,
That's not tolerated.
They give me the same thing, and it's not tolerated. And you know what? Who's the offended ones? The people around you. It's not even the people involved in it.
Right. Let me stop you, Lud. Most of the people around you, most people get it, left and right. Most people laugh with you. If you got 100 people, there's always about 3 that are screwball friends left nuts. And those are the people that Biden puts in his administration. Those are the people that want to run off and make a report because he said something that's unacceptable. You go, get a grip on yourself, you idiot. Can I say moron? Does this apply this time, Ludwig?
No, you're not allowed
it's
to.
It's a moronic action. Is that there fair?
That's good. You can say that.
Moronic action. I'm just telling you, folks, we got to get beyond ourselves. Most everybody, I don't care what your ethnic background is. I don't even care what your partisanship is. Most people are pretty good people. All of these debates are over 3 or 4% of the public, and the Democrats have put those people in charge. Oh, my goodness. Please be safe. Thank you very, very much for joining us. We will see you next week.